Disclaimer, Twigs Cafe Radio and TwigsCafeRadio.com and its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions, statements, or claims made by the talk show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of the station.
Disclaimer, don't believe a word I or any of my guests say on the show. Check them out for yourself. Legal information is not the same as legal advice. The information presented is strictly for educational entertainment purposes and is provided to my listeners to help them safely cope with their own legal needs. We recommend you consult a lawyer if you want professional advice.
In a world filled with political correctness, one man must rise above the idiocy to awaken the sleeping, apathetic masses in an intellectual battle of epic proportions. In a war against an out-of-control, tyrannical government hell-bent on the destruction of freedom and liberty, the sleeping giant will someday awaken, and freedom will persevere. You're listening to Politically Incorrect with John Kistler on Twigs Cafe Radio.
Wow! Holly, I love it. Holly did our introduction here. She put that together. She said it was going to be of epic proportion. And what a way to introduce my brand new show here. Lori, our station owner, and Lou, our station manager, actually got in touch with me and asked me if I would like my own show. I was kind of set back a little bit because I really didn't come up here, you know, months ago and put in my time. And I was just doing it to have some fun. But, you know, they both showed some confidence in me. And she asked me where I was going to go with this. And I said, you know, really, we have to start at the beginning. So my guest tonight, you know, having said all of that, my guest tonight is Mr. Michael Bednarik. I don't know if you people out there have ever heard of him, but if you haven't, please go on YouTube. Please check him out. I mean, this guy is just a wealth of knowledge. He's absolutely a spectacular speaker. You know, I can't give him too big of a head because he might not want to talk on the radio here after I get done pumping him up for you. But this guy is really awesome. But, you know, we got Michael on the line here. If you want to call in tonight, because Michael's on the line, you can give us a call at 570-836-2920. I encourage you to call in to ask questions, Michael, field anything. And if you want to talk to me, you can give me a call on my cell phone, 570-760-7767, or you can text me there. So, Michael, welcome. Thanks for coming on for my show here, and I'm excited to talk with you. We talked for a little while the other night, and I'm just excited to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me on, and congratulations on getting your own show.
How'd you like that introduction that Holly put together? Wasn't that spectacular?
That was. She's a good girl.
Yeah. I told her to be creative, and she really was. So Let's get right down to it. You know, Mike, I've been listening to your stuff on YouTube. I love it. You know, I recommend it to people. And, you know, the only place I can think to start is start with the Constitution, because that's where we're going wrong in this country. If we can get back to the basics, I think we can correct some of the problems.
Well, I'd like to go back even further further than that. I recommend all of your listeners go to the internet and download Frederick Bastiat's The Law. It's important for us to understand the basic fundamentals of why the Founding Fathers chose to build this particular type of government in the first place. And yes, it's important to read the Constitution. But I think that it would help everybody understand the Constitution if you read this fundamentals. Basically, it's called The Law. It's written by Frederick Bastiat, and he was a French philosopher and economist. He came here in the early 1800s and thought the United States was just fantastic, a perfect balance between freedom and, you know, population control. And he wrote a book, or pamphlet, really. shouldn't take long for you to go through it. And he explains in a really kind of philosophical basic why we create government in the first place, what a legitimate government looks like, and what are the fundamental purposes of a legitimate government. I mean, there have been lots and lots of government. Adolf Hitler had a government, but I don't think there are many of us that would stand behind that type of legislation. And Adolf Hitler is usually considered to be one of the most evil people in the world in history. And so if Adolf Hitler can have an evil government, well, it's possible that other governments are evil too. And we need to know what those fundamentals are. You're gonna hold the government to a standard. What standard is that? And again, I think that your readers would be very greatly served by going through that particular pamphlet.
Mike, I'm definitely going to pick that up and check it out. I get a lot of things recommended to me by different people, and I just ordered a book online here. I'm not going to mention the title of it because I haven't really had a chance to dig into it. It just showed up here. I actually bought two of them. I bought one for myself, and I bought one for Andy, who's the host here on Twigs Radio for Justice Served with Andy Ostrowski, because it's very interesting. It falls in line with the stuff we were talking about earlier, but I don't want to get off our subject. So the book is The Law by Frederick Bastiak, and it's just a little pamphlet primer kind of document. So we'll check it out and read it, and the next time we get you on the show, I'm definitely going to talk a little bit more about that. So, keeping that in mind, where do you want to go next here, on the show? What do you want to talk about and cover? Because, people really need to know about the Constitution. They need to know about the law. That's the basis of Andy's show is about, exposing the corruption in our judicial system and how our country's really gone astray.
Well, I'm sorry, I got some congestion here. If I may be so bold as to point people towards my book is called Good to Be King, and it is designed to, give you the basics on the Constitution. And my website is constitutionpreservation.org. And chapter 2 of my book is called Rights versus Privileges. And unfortunately, most of our problems are due to the fact that Americans don't know the difference between rights and privileges. A right is something you can do without asking. A privilege is something that someone of a higher authority allows you to do. And once we understand that difference, then we can start to sort out some of our problems and not get confused when we discuss the issue. Fortunately, Chapter 2 of my book is available for free download. You can go to constitutionpreservation.org, and under Good to Be King, the menu items allows you to download Chapter 2, and I encourage you to download it, read it, share it with your friend. The sooner all Americans have read and understood this chapter, the sooner we're going to be able to identify these problems and make some useful corrections.
Well, that sounds good. I'm going to definitely go there and check that out too, Mike. Because, you know, like we said here, where do we start? How do we take our country back from the corruption that has really kind of engulfed us, so to speak? You know, the Obama administration here, the guy passed more presidential memorandums than any other president, any six presidents in the past. And, you know, it just continues on and on and on.
Are you talking about executive orders?
The executive orders, yeah. You know, he passed more executive orders.
Well, most people are unclear on what executive orders are or should be. Under King George, you know, King George would basically make an announcement. You know, hear ye, you know, this is the law, and now everybody is obligated to follow that law. You know, there was no voting. You know, the judge just made this decree. So the judge was, you know, the executive, judicial, you know, and legislative branch all rolled into one. We came to the North American continent, decided we had a better form of government where we had a separation of powers. The legislative branch or Congress is supposed to make the law, and the executive branch, or, you know, president and police, are supposed to enforce the law. Well, if the President of the United States can sign an executive order and make law for 310 million Americans, what's the difference between that and, you know, King George signing a proclamation? Basically, there is none. And so the President of the United States is justified in writing an executive order that applies to all of his subordinates. The President of the United States is the chief executive, and not surprisingly, he has a bunch of people working for him. He can tell the people in the executive branch how they are supposed to fulfill their obligations. But the President of the United States has no authority to sign an executive order that pretends to make law for everybody living in the United States. That would be just like King George. That's not what we're supposed to have. And yet, because people are ignorant about the Constitution and, you know, the proper form of our government, they kind of sit back and allow that kind of stuff to happen.
Yeah, you know, people aren't getting involved like they should. They don't teach the Constitution in school. They don't teach your rights. Heck, they don't even teach, I don't even think they teach home ec anymore, you know, judging from the way some of these young girls I've seen out there cook and clean and even handle a household. They can't even manage a checkbook.
Well, there are a lot of things that our students are no longer being taught. They're not prepared for adult life when they come out of school. And sadly, at first it was only in California, but today, you know, just about anywhere you send your children to school, they are teaching socialism as if it is a legitimate form of government. Now, it is a form of government, but it's not a legitimate form of government in the United States. Socialism and communism do not recognize the legitimacy of private property. And our entire form of law is predicated on the supremacy of private property. John Adams, who was president right after George Washington, said that the moment the idea is admitted into society that the law of property is not as sacred as the law of God, and that there's not a force of law and public justice to defend it, then tyranny and anarchy commence. Now, I'm not sure what your personal religious views are, but if the law of property is supposed to be as sacred as the law of God. I'm guessing it's going to be in the mix someplace. I mean, don't you think?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, one of the biggest parts of the American dream is the dream to own your own home. You know, to have the two cars in the driveway, the trophy wife, the two kids, and the dog to come home to at the end of the day. So that's the American dream, the illusion that we've been sold on, because, you know, slaves don't work hard, and if the American people really knew how badly they've been enslaved, they would revolt, I think. I don't think they're that far gone.
Well, it's questionable. There are videos on YouTube where a reporter is basically cruising up and down Ventura Beach interviewing people, and these people don't know how many stars are on the American flag. They don't know who we declared our independence from. I mean, they know that 4th of July is Independence Day, but they have no grasp of the history. They are willing to sign a petition supporting Hillary Clinton's choice of Karl Marx as vice president. Now, clearly, Karl Marx is no longer alive, so we don't have to worry about him actually becoming vice president. But if we allow Karl Marx's ideas, if we allow his philosophy to take hold under our American form of government, then we are going to be in serious trouble.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, if you recite the Pledge of Allegiance, it says, one nation under God, a republic for which we stand. But we became a democratic society many years ago, and we've slowly started slipping into, you know, either socialism or some form of communism, almost, so to speak, where, you know, the governments are just total dictator rules, and the people seem to be very complacent with that. But, you know, it's time for us to take a break here, Mike. We'll pick this up right after the break. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back, everybody.
Wolfstock, Saturday, August 20th, 2016, from 12 to 6 p.m., located at Salt Springs outside of Montrose, PA. Celebrate the day with live bands, vendors, food, raffles, and more, all to benefit True Friends Animal Welfare Center, committed to protecting the lives of the area's unwanted animals. Visit www.truefriendsawc.com for more information.
Marty's Market on Route 6 in Meshoppin is the little store that saves you more. Open 7 days a week with country butcher shop quality at supermarket prices. Visit us on Route 6 in Meshoppin or Route 307 in Lake Winola.
Justice Served with your host, Andy Ostrowski. Live every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on TwigsCafeRadio.com. Improving the quality of access to justice in America by shining a light on obstacles that have compromised this basic right. Justice Served, live every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on TwigsCafeRadio.com.
This is Nurse John from WaterCures.org. I want to show you how to salt and water your way to an A. Before you know it, your next test, your next midterm, or final is going to be here. You can improve your memory and your school grades without using dangerous and illegal drugs. This little-known ancient trick will help you think, reason, and test better than ever before. What is this trick that can help you improve your grades? Place a pinch of unprocessed sea salt on your tongue, dissolve it, and then drink a glass of water. Do it about 30 minutes before you study and 30 minutes before you test, and get ready to be amazed. This won't get you out of studying. You can't recall what you don't know, but you're going to find it easier to study and easier to remember. One last thing, it has to be unprocessed salt. Numerous minerals in the salt are part of what make you smarter. Go do it. What are you waiting for? Get smart. Use the Water Cures protocol. Discover more how to salt your way to an A at watercures.org. Paid for by Connie and Bob Butts.
Twigs Cafe Radio and the Independent Gazette have joined forces to bring you all of your local, regional, and national news. Look for the Independent Gazette each month on your local newsstands or follow the links to twigscaferadio.com. Do you want it sent to your door? Shoot us an email at twigscaferadio@gmail.com. The Independent Gazette, bringing Northeast Pennsylvania its local, regional, and national news.
Here. She did a great job putting this all this stuff together for the new show. I love it. And, you know, if you were listening at the break here, they were talking about the Water Cure. My good friend Bob Butts supports the Water Cure through CK Automotive Parts down there. You know, just mix a little bit of sea salt, not processed salt, with some sugar and water and see what kind of things it'll do to jog your memory. Also, Mike, during the break here, Holly put a link on our website that will direct our listeners to your book. So it's great that she does stuff like this so quickly. She's an absolute whiz here. And we're back.
I'm here.
Okay. You're on again, Mike. I just kind of gave that little plug here. It's good having you back. You know, we talked about a couple different things, and, you know, the socialism and communism kind of regime that we've kind of fallen into. People are so apathetic anymore. They just want the government to take care of everything. It's, you know, just give me my six-pack, my pack of Marlboro Reds, and let me go home at the end of the day, sit in my chair, drink a few beers, and pass out and get up and do it all again until I can retire and actually walk my way or fall my way down into the grave, because they've been walking in that rut so many years.
Yeah. Well, you know, freedom is not free. It takes, you know, eternal vigilance. And, again, you can't solve a problem if you're not aware of what the problem is and what the cause of the problem is. And so I teach an 8-hour class on the Constitution, and I will be teaching that class down in Florida in just a little less than 2 weeks. My friend Robert Scott Bell has a radio program. He's invited me to come down. And this is kind of a special version of my class. The class is typically 8 hours long. I go from 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. But this time, the class will be on Saturday, and on Sunday, we're going to take the students to the local gun range and help them improve their accuracy with pistols. Even if you've never picked up a gun before, this is the place to learn. I'll be there. I've got 35 years of shooting experience myself, and the range where we're going, we're going to have the benefit of a British Special Forces soldier. So he'll be there as well to keep everybody safe and help you get your bullets really close to the center of the target. You ever watched The Patriot with Mel Gibson? He's telling his boys to aim small, miss small.
Yeah, I remember that movie, and, you know, I love the fact that you're incorporating a little bit of Second Amendment into your program there, because, you know, that's something that's near and dear to me. I'm a local committee member for our local NRA chapter, Northeast Friends of the NRA. Up here, we do an annual fundraiser banquet, and we raise a lot of money, and the nice thing is that it stays here. Half of the money stays here in our local district, and then the other half stays in Pennsylvania. So, you know, it helps promote the shooting sports. It helps promote gun owner awareness, and it also helps us fight for legislation to keep the Second Amendment free, just like the First Amendment, too. So, you know, these are things that groups that are out there that are really doing things that are beneficial for the community. I'm a member of a church down in Pittston. My church took over the old St. Rocco's School, and you know, we're still trying to get the place up and running. We had some issues here with zoning and things. You know, a little bit of government intervention stepped in here and took our occupancy permit away from us because we didn't have adequate parking. So we're in the process of rectifying that, and once we get opened, I'd like to maybe try to get you up here to do the same type of class, and because we'll have about 250 seating capacity in the hall, and I think it'd be a great thing to have come into our area.
Well, I'd love to fill the hall, and I'd love to fill their heads with all this information. This is information that will help them maintain their own liberty. Again, if you don't understand that, you know, people are actively, consciously preparing to, you know, deprive you of your rights, then it's going to be a big surprise when they suddenly disappear.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I don't really think that it's down at the local level as much as it is at the federal and the state level with you know, the infringements on your rights. You know, our local authorities, you know, these people are just basically out there doing their job. I don't think they even realize that what they're doing is sort of unconscionable on their own behalf, you know, and their actions. But they're doing it just because, you know, their boss says to do that, or they're following the new BOCA rules, or they're following some kind of regulation that got handed down from someplace higher up, be it the state or be it at the federal level, to implement these, or the municipality that they're in will not get certain types of funding. And, you know, it all revolves around the good old almighty dollar. You know, and I'm falling to that too, because, you know, I have to work for a living. I'm 61 years old. I haven't retired yet, and I don't plan on retiring for a while. Not just because, not because of the money. I really don't need the money. I do it because of, you know, the position that I'm in. I love what I do. I love the people that I work with, and I love helping people. But, you know, people ask me, why am I, you know, why did I think about running for public office? Why do I do this show? Why do I go out and preach about different things, you know, whenever I can get a few people around to listen? And it's because, you know, when I'm dead and gone and I'm laying there in the box, I don't want my kids saying, you know, you dirty SOB, you knew and you didn't do anything. And now look at the shape that we're in. We could have maybe rectified this a little bit earlier, you know, because when it comes down to beans and bullets time, the American people are not ready for that. You know, they see all these things in foreign countries, but they don't realize that we're only one minute event away from this happening here in the country. It's only going to be one incident that's going to spark a revolution, just like it did back, you know, when in the 1700s. It was just one thing, you know, the Boston Tea Party started the ball rolling, or, you know, the Declaration of Independence. And why we fought these battles is because people can only take so much before they say enough is enough. And when are we going to say enough is the question here.
Well, I've written two books, and in my second book, I litter the pages with quotes from different people. And H.L. Mencken was a sci-fi author. And back in 1923, he left us with a quote that says, "The fact is that the average man's love of liberty is nine-tenths imaginary, exactly like his love of sense, justice, and truth. He is not actually happy when free. He is uncomfortable, a bit alarmed, and intolerably lonely. Liberty is not a thing for the great masses of men. It is the exclusive possession of a small and disreputable minority, like knowledge, courage, and honor. It takes a special sort of man to understand and enjoy liberty, and he is usually an outlaw in democratic society.
Wow. That kind of sums it up about myself, Andy, and Lou here, because what we do, we just, you know, we've made it our mission in our later years here to try to bring things back full circle and get them back to where they're supposed to be. And I haven't heard, I've never heard that statement before, but it can't be any truer. Is it basically because the majority of the people in the country are a little bit insecure, a little bit fearful, that they need that big brother hand kind of guiding them along the way? They just feel that they're lost. They can't, you know, steer their own ship, so to speak.
Absolutely. You know, most people back in the day were independent. I mean, they lived on the land. They had to grow their own food, you know, worry about the animals, and, you know, it was a, you know, difficult life. Their survival was directly related to the things that they would do on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, today, you know, most people are so far removed from all the things that are required to survive. You know, they just walk in, they purchase their food off the grocery shelves, they have no idea where their electricity is coming from, and they're just kind of oblivious. Well, how can you be independent if, you know, you depend on the government for everything? So, you know, during the first Great Depression, the about 50% of Americans lived on farms. And, you know, we were, for the most part, self-sufficient. We would, you know, even if you didn't have a job, at least you had food growing in the garden. And nowadays, we have like less than 10% of the people live on a farm in the United States. Again, they have no idea where their food or electricity come from. And, you know, if the shelves in the store suddenly become empty, you know, most people are not going to have a clue. They're going to be running around and it's going to be an unpleasant thing.
Yeah, it'll be kind of like the riots out in Los Angeles. I mean, they were just breaking in, stealing anything out of the stores, just literally going in with shopping carts and just grabbing a section of the shelf and just dumping it in the cart. They didn't care what it was, as long as it was food or as long as it was water, you know, something that they could use to sustain themselves. And, you know, that's what's going to happen here. And, you know, I don't know how long the government, you know, with their manipulations here and, you know, the Federal Reserve drop in interest rates, in some cases to negative interest rates. I mean, God, how can they do that, you know? And they're still making a profit. That's the funny part. They're still making a profit as low as the interest rates are. But it's not really funny because, you know, after all, you and I know that there really is no money. The monetary system is just a ruse. It's you know, the good faith and backing of the American dollar is just what the people look at it as. You know, a greenback, a $1 bill is capable of buying you a soda or a dollar menu French fry or something like that at McDonald's. And, you know, that's what they look at it as. It's just a medium of exchange, and realistically it is, but it doesn't have any value because, you know, the country's bankrupt, so we're just printing paper currency. The bankers are using that to steal wealth back because, you know, when they make that home loan, they never loaned you anything. You were the creditor, not the bank. And then if you default on that loan, they just take it back. Well, you know, the only things that happen in the world or in the universe basically occur through an action of man, and the only thing that is of any value is something that was created by man, with the exception of land, you know, but the home that's on the land was a creation by man. So, you know, those are the things that they steal back. They steal your wealth. They, you know, wealth is actually the man's or woman's labor, and that's the true wealth of anyone in the country.
And again, you know, if you don't understand the problem, you're never going to be able to fix it. And, you know, people don't understand that the stock market crash of 1929 was deliberately engineered. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a fluke. It was deliberately engineered to, you know, fleece us of our hard-earned money. And we could probably do a two-hour show on that topic alone.
Yeah, I mean, the Federal Reserve has orchestrated and presided over every recession or depression that we ever had. And, you know, going back to the 20s, most people in the country back then were self-sufficient. They were living on farms and stuff. I heard a figure, and I'm not really sure what it was, but it was only like, you know, when the great stock market crash and the Great Depression of the Roaring 20s, there was only like 20 or 25% of the people in the country were actually affected. The rest of the people didn't even know what was going on because they were, you know, self-sufficient, living on farms. They had their own businesses or something along that line. So it was just in the major metropolitan areas where people trusted the banks and had their money in banks and were heavily indebted to the banks did the Big Depression actually take its toll.
Well, again, you have to understand how that whole thing works. The Roaring 20s were the time period immediately before the stock market crash, and that's basically what led to the crash itself. The problem was that the banks made money generously available, and the people were able to borrow money. You could borrow money from the bank at 5% interest, invest it in the stock market, and get, you know, 10% interest. And, you know, then if you were clever, you'd pay off the bank money, and you still had a profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a profit using someone else's money.
Right. Well, Mike, hold that thought here, because we have to take a break here, so we'll be right back.
Buying or selling a home today can require guidance, professional execution, and local knowledge. The real estate professionals at Century 21 Sherlock Homes have the tools and resources to help you navigate the real estate market in the local area and find opportunities. Let us help you make your real estate dream a reality. Talk to a Century 21 Sherlock Homes sales associate today and learn how they can help put the power of Century 21 system to work for you. Visit Century 21 Sherlock Homes at 302 West Tioga Street, Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania, or give them a call at 570-836-3457.
Wolfstock, Saturday, August 20th, 2016, from 12 to 6 p.m., located at Salt Springs outside of Montrose, PA. Celebrate the day with live bands, vendors, food, raffles, and more, all to benefit True Friends Animal Welfare Center, committed to protecting the lives of the area's unwanted animals. Visit www.truefriendsawc.com for more information.
The Donna Labar Hour on Mind, Body, and Soul. Created for you, Donna Labar has brought together cutting-edge techniques and approaches for a natural, healthy, well-balanced lifestyle. From practitioners and the natural and health and well-being business community. That's the Donna Labar Hour on Mind, Body, and Soul. Every Saturday at 8 a.m. on TwigsCafeRadio.com.
This is Nurse John from WaterCures.org. I want to show you how to salt and water your way to an A. Before you know it, your next test, your next midterm, or final is going to be here. You can improve your memory and your school grades without using dangerous and illegal drugs. This little-known ancient trick will help you think, reason, and test better than ever before. What is this trick that can help you improve your grades? Place a pinch of unprocessed sea salt on your tongue, dissolve it, and then drink a glass of water. Do it about 30 minutes before you study and 30 minutes before you test, and get ready to be amazed. This won't get you out of studying. You can't recall what you don't know, but you're going to find it easier to study and easier to remember. One last thing, it has to be unprocessed salt. Numerous minerals in the salt are part of what make you smarter. Go do it. What are you waiting for? Get smart. Use the Water Cures protocol. Discover more how to salt your way to an A at watercures.org. Paid for by Connie and Bob Butts.
And we're back. And before we took a break here, Mike Bedard and I were talking about OPM, other people's money. That was the reason for the bank crash. And Mike, continue on here where we left off here. I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, but we had to take a station break.
I understand. Basically, the people were led to invest money they didn't really have. And everybody was allowed to make money. That was why we had the Roaring Twenties, because, you know, people were, you know, living large. They had more money than they knew what to do with. And then, unfortunately, the interest rates shifted, and, you know, the banks were calling in all their loans. And, you know, if you owe the bank money and, you know, couldn't get it, basically you had to go bankrupt, and, you know, you lost everything. And so it was a deliberate con. I recommend that your listeners get a book called Creature from Jekyll Island. And it's written by my friend G. Edward Griffin. It's a long book, but I guarantee you won't be able to put it down.
Yeah, I read that book several times. I love it. You know, it really exposes the truth of the Federal Reserve and how a few big families, the Rockefellers, the Vanderbilts, the Aldridges, all of them conspired to form the Federal Reserve. And, you know, as we talked about earlier in the show, there's nothing really federal about the Federal Reserve. It's a private-for-profit bank.
Yeah, it's not federal. There are no reserves, and it's not really a bank.
Yeah, and boy, did they get away with the scam of the century, you know, getting our government to go along with it and allow them to continue perpetuating that system at the expense of the American people. You know, why would our government, when they run the printing presses for the Federal Reserve, it's amazing. They run the presses, and they still don't control the money.
Well, the reason for that is not as, you know, difficult as you might think. Before the Federal Reserve, in order to get money for a project, let's assume that the government would like to do some research on the sex life of the mosquito, for example. Where would they get that money? Well, they would have to come to we the people. They would have to ask us, hat in hand, for all this money. And the people would probably go, mosquitoes, sex trafficking, are you kidding? No. And we would just flat out deny them the money. Well, once Congress unconstitutionally voted to grant the Federal Reserve power to print money, then Congress could now go to the Federal Reserve and they could get as a large of a loan as they wanted. They basically had unlimited cash to do all of the projects, and almost all of those projects were to establish greater control over the people. Does that make sense? So we have to understand these problems. We need to, gain control again over the election process, if that's possible, and basically, put this, huge government back in the box where it belongs. So we the people are responsible for the government. We created the government, by ordaining and the Constitution. So we have the power to alter or abolish the government. So we need to start standing up and take responsibility for the government that works for us, not the other way around.
I agree there, Mike. And this election that's coming up here right now is going to be an interesting event here, with different things going on. We were just talking about that earlier on Sanity Check with X, and, there's rumor that the Donald is going to pull out. He's becoming unstable. Not that Hillary isn't unstable either. I mean, some of the things that she's been coming off saying and her actions, This is some crazy, crazy times that we're living in. We have some other good candidates out there, Green Party candidates, Libertarian Party candidates. Gary Johnson has some really good points. Ted Cruz had some good things too, in his campaign. But, the question is it just political mumbo jumbo jargon just to get us to vote for them? And, are they going to turn their backs on the voters and totally forget about what they promised in their campaign speeches, so to speak, because we have some local politicians here that have done that too. We have State Senator John Blake, Sid Michael Kovulich, I call them members of the Rat Pack. There's John Gordner and a couple other people too that are in that Rat Pack group. They promised to support the Senate bill and House Bill 76 here, which is designed to replace this property tax, the school property tax, with another system that would generate just as much money but decrease the amount of foreclosure sales for property tax, failure to pay your property taxes. And, they said that they would support it, and they turned code on us when it finally came to a vote. John Blake last year was the deciding vote, the swing vote. And he could have sent it through to the House for approval, and we actually had enough people, supposedly, to get it through the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania, and Blake never let it come out of committee with his vote. So, these people are out there saying one thing, doing another. They promise us the moon, the stars, and the Milky Way, so to speak, when they're running for office, but they never actually produce anything or actually come through with what they promise.
Well, you know how to tell when a politician is lying, don't you?
Probably the same way a car salesman is. I think it's that their lips are moving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody who believes a politician or a used car salesman probably deserves whatever, trauma that they're subjected to. Again, the American people are at least as much at fault as the politicians themselves, because we're the ones that are responsible for this government. And if we're not holding them accountable, you know, it's basically our fault. Like, you know, going to the shopping mall and having some young kids running around, you know, just making all sorts of noise and, you know, tearing up the scenery. Is the child, you know, partially to blame? Yes. But, you know, I want to slap the parents, because the parents are the ones that are supposed to be, you know, supervising their children. So we are responsible for supervising the government, and clearly we're not doing a very good job.
Yeah, you know, I agree 100% there, you know, especially with the part about the parents with the children. And I think that is due in part to the fact that the government has made a concerted effort to destroy the family unit. You know, years ago, dad went to work, mom stayed home, raised the kids. They went to school. Mom was there to greet them when they came home and gave them a snack, you know, and sent them out to play or made them sit down and do their homework. Now these kids are coming home, you know, to an empty house. There's no one there to give them any supervision or guidance as far as what to do. And that's all because of the manipulation by the people that actually control the world. You know, these big international families, it's said that 2 to 3% of the people control 90% of the wealth in the world. And that I think, is very true.
Well, it seems that way. I mean, I haven't seen any hard and fast numbers on it, but again, you can't solve a problem unless you understand it. So I, again, recommend that your listeners download and read Frederick Bastiat's The Law, and then go to my website, constitutionpreservation.org, and download Chapter 2, which is all about rights and privileges. And I think once you've gotten that fundamental, you know, concept into your head, then learning about the rest of the Constitution will be considerably easier.
Yeah, that's, you know, again, like I said, Holly, during the last break here, she put a link on our website for our listeners to go to and actually pull down that that chapter of your book. And so that's available right here. And we'll list this other book here from Mr. Bastiat so that people can get a hold of that. You know, education is the big thing, and it's nice to have people out there like yourself that devotes their time and energy into educating people about what's really going on. Some people you can wake up, some people you can't. I just pray that there's enough of us that that are awake, that spend at least a little bit of their day trying to enlighten other people and get them to wake up and smell the roses, so to speak, or smell the coffee and start to think about what's actually going on and not just be totally oblivious and be like a rat in a maze, got to get the cheese. And, you know, when you move the cheese on them, they become totally panicked. And that's what's going to happen if it all hits the fan. And the question is, when is it going to hit the fan? Do we really know? But, you know, it would seem that it could happen any minute. And just one little event or one cataclysmic event could be all it would take to start a revolution here in the country. You know, we've been very fortunate. We've taken all of these wars and things overseas, so to speak. We've become the world's police force whenever there's some kind of a conflict, and it's cost us millions of dollars and made the international bankers tremendous amount of wealth, as well as the people that are affiliated with them in the international arms trades and things along that line. I mean, you know, when you start figuring $20 million for a jet, it doesn't take very long to figure out how much that costs us every time when one got shot down over in Vietnam. So, you know, who made the money? And that's what we have to start doing, is start following the trail of money. Who is benefiting most from all of this? And maybe that's how we can change things, when people start realizing just who's benefiting the most.
Well, I certainly hope so. But that's why I teach my Constitution class. You know, I'm hoping that many of your listeners will, you know, go to the website and find out about it. Again, my website is constitutionpreservation.org. And if you would like to join us in Florida, we're going to teach the Constitution class on Saturday and go to the gun range on Sunday.
And what Saturday is that, Mike?
That is August 13th and 14th.
Oh, wow, that's coming right up.
Yes, it
right
is.
Right up on us. Wow. Is there some contact information where people can, you know, get a hold of you or your
Absolutely.
Friend down there and book to come down to it if they would choose?
My website is constitutionpreservation.org. Go to class info on the menu, and it'll be the first and second menu item. I've got another class coming up in September.
Oh, and where's that one going to be, Mike?
That will be in Katy, Texas, just west of Houston. And that's another special class. Friday, I teach the Constitution. Saturday, we have a huge presentation on the IRS. And on Sunday is a presentation devoted to property taxes.
Wow. Those classes, Mike, are you going to have someone do an audio or video recording of them and make that available to your listeners?
Probably not. I'm coordinating with some other people, and I think that there's going to be some copyright issues with all of that.
Oh, but, okay.
You know, I certainly hope that your listeners would go to the website and at least find out about it, and, you know, maybe tell their friends who live in the area.
Well, Mike, you know, it's coming up on the 8 o'clock hour here. We're running out of time. I do, again, appreciate you coming on the show. I will we'll get you back on the show again here in the next couple weeks. And for this evening, we have been politically incorrect. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much.